Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Rolling.
What's up, Nima?
Rolling. It's the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima. Chilling, man. You woke me up and told me to start talking on a microphone. I was like, all right, I'll do it.
I know. I know. So we have a correction from the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. I said, from the interview with James Davis, I said, yeah, Nima's dad used to gamble for a living, and he's handicapped, and he should sue on the Americans for Disabilities Act. And I realized later it's your father-in-law, not your dad. But, you know, I kind of think of father-in-laws as dads. I like my father-in-law.
Yeah, it's my father-in-law. You know, I don't call him dad, but he's a pretty good guy. And he didn't really make a living doing online poker, but he made enough to really add to his living. Like, he was able to take a cruise, you know, paid for with just his poker money. And yeah, he's got MS, you know, and he's retired pretty much, but at like 40 something, you know, so he's a pretty young guy, but had to retire because of his MS. And that was what he loved to do all day, was sit there and play online poker. And, you know, it's his passion. He loved the game. He loved the money. And the feds just jackbooted it, you know, and he was real bummed about it. And I was kind of bummed about it, too, because when I heard that news, the first thing I thought of was my father-in-law and how bummed he's going to be that the feds kept him from pursuing his frickin' happiness.
They stole it. They stole his happiness. They didn't let him pursue his happiness. That's pretty much what the government does these days, is infringe. And I can't believe how many people can't see that. Like, you know, this week there was another, like, maybe false flag thing. Like, the FBI had a plant in some terrorist organization overseas and infiltrated them. And then, you know, they say that the organization gave the plant a bomb. And then he gave it to the FBI. But who knows? Maybe the FBI made it. I don't know. But
wasn't that the CIA? If it was overseas?
I don't know. Is there a difference? But
the Fed goons. See, we just need to start calling everyone the Fed goons to make it easier for us anarchists, right?
I'm ready to start calling my city council the Fed goons. I got to read you more of this library crap they sent me.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. But they're just all... Oh, I was going to say, I was watching your old TV station here, and all these shiny young J-school grads that have taken your place are, like, reporting on that story and getting sound bites from, you know, guys that look like they'd own a bunch of guns, you know, typical Wyomingites with, like, hunting caps and camo and kind of redneck hipster looking. And they had to, two or three of them in a row saying, like, well, you know, I don't care if they have to, like, you know, search us more and keep an eye on us and stuff, as long as it makes us safe. Like, they literally had, like, three people in a row saying almost exactly that.
Yep. And the thing about TV reporting is, you know, you might talk to a bunch of people, but you're going to cherry pick that soundbite whenever you do that story. Your news director will say something like, well, do you have a bite like this, you know? That happened once when we had like a TSA scare at our little airport here in Washington State. And the TSA basically shut down the whole freaking airport because some teenage girl said bye to her, like some relative, aunt or granny or something, on the other side of the fence as she was walking to the airport. Or the airplane, because we don't have, like, jetways. We have you walk out onto the runway and you take the stairs up. And the TSA shut down the whole airport because Granny could have passed the lady, you know, a bomb or a gun or something. And I remember when I came back, it wasn't my news director, but it was my producer that day because it was the weekend. And she was like, well, did you get something to say, you know, well, this is all okay because of safety? And I looked at her like, no, is that what I'm supposed to do?
Is that what the script you got from the Fusion Center?
Yeah, and she was like, no, that's fine. And then she was like, it's fine, whatever. And then I go back and look at how she edited my script, and she just put that in the tag. Like many say, you know, that's always what you do in news.
Many say. Yep.
Or some say. That's what you do in news when you don't have somebody saying what you want them to say. You just say, some say.
You know, if you say some say or many say, even on Wikipedia, it gets tagged as like citation needed.
Yeah.
Or who says, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I just don't know. Even, I guess the big boys like New York Times wouldn't necessarily do something like that. I mean, they might, but what they seem to do is they say anonymous sources say, or an anonymous source in the government, or an anonymous official.
Which really means the guy at the next desk.
Right.
So the name of this episode is Game of Drones.
Game of Drones. Nice, nice. I can't argue with that one.
I'm sure someone else has come up with that, probably The Daily Show, but I don't know. I thought of it independently, so it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, it'd be good. And that feels like that's all it is these days. That's at least where it's going to. I mean, could the government think of anything better? Like, they just have flying robots that can murder people at will. I feel like that's been the fantasy of kings and tyrants since time immemorial, right? Like, I just think it, and somebody will die.
Yes, someone on the other side of the kingdom is murdered by remote control. Yeah, I mean that's what they are trying for with the catapult, but it didn't really work as well as a drone.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, the thing with old air campaigns, you know, flying bombers and fighter pilots, I mean, at least back in the earlier days, you had to worry about people getting shot down or dogfights or even mechanical malfunction. Pilots would be at risk. Nowadays, you know, it's just some dude eating Cheetos in Nevada.
And literally, I've seen pictures of those people, and they look like they're playing video games. They have a joystick, and they have their feet up, and they look like dudes in a video parlor, you know?
Yep.
Do they still have video parlors? I don't know.
Video parlor. You sound like Mr. Burns.
Stay away from the video parlor,
yes,
son.
Yes, Michael. I just got back from the video parlor where I was eating pretzeled bread and iced cream.
Were you playing the Videotrolla?
Yes.
Were you putting a shiny penny in the Videotrolla?
Back in my day, we called them arcades. I think a few of them still exist.
Well, originally they were pool halls, and then they'd put like a pinball machine in the pool hall.
Yeah.
Then they put a Pac-Man machine in the pool hall, and then they put a bunch of video games in and just took out the pool table.
Yeah, yeah. Although there's still pool halls around, man. I mean, people still love to play pool.
And that rhymes with P, and that stands for T, and that stands for trouble.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it's from some musical. It's about keeping your kids away. The scene's about keeping your kids away from the pool hall.
I see.
So I think that there's a statist media bias, not a left-wing media bias.
Oh,
but,
totally. 100%.
You know, a lot of media seems left. It's really what it is Fox and like Hannity and like Rush Limbaugh weight the scale so much because they're so loud that it kind of evens out the left-right of the statism. But
I just can barely understand the difference anymore. I mean, I feel like once you break that paradigm and understand statism versus freedom, then it just seems like the same thing. I mean, I don't care if you're arguing for killing more brown people or arguing for higher taxes. Either way, it's the same thing. It's still violence perpetrated by the state.
I heard an explanation of why there's an alleged left-wing media bias. It's that in the 70s after Watergate, that movie with Robert Redford, All the President's Men, came out.
Uh-huh, yeah.
About, what were the guys' names?
Woodward and Bernstein.
Yeah.
Washington Post.
And it was such
reporters.
A big movie, and they were so sexy in it that everyone went to J school because of it, because they wanted to expose the next Watergate.
I could see that. I could see that. And then, of course, they didn't. I mean, it seems like most of the J school grads I've come across, all they tend to think about is, you know, whenever a problem happens, they think of, well, what law has been created to solve this problem? And if there's not a law, it's scandalized. They're like, and there were no law on the books, and police say there's nothing they can do.
You know what part of the problem is? Like, nobody wants to win a Pulitzer Prize anymore. They want to be a sexy part. You know, they want to be the bobble-headed blonde. Like, nobody wants to be the Morrow or the Cronkite or the... You know, or the Woodward and Bernstein. Nobody really thinks that they're going to muckrake anymore and, you know, spend 3 years risking their lives doing research. They just want to get the 6 o'clock news out and then go home.
Yeah, and I can't tell where the causality comes there either, because at least in
fast food, man. It's a fast food world now.
Pretty much.
I blame the MTV.
Well, that's the thing. In TV news, at least, I mean, you get to the office in the morning, you know, you might have a few stories you've been looking into, but you got to do 2 stories in that day, you know, and you don't get a whole day to do it. You get about 5 hours to do your
shooting. We've done about 5 stories, and we're only 9 minutes in.
Right, but I mean, we're just...
And we're telling the truth, man. We've told the truth 9 times. 5 times in 9 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like those people don't drive to people and put a camera in their face and ask them to talk to us.
See, but we use as much citation as they do. They say
that's true.
Many people say, and we say, well, if you don't like it, F you. By the way, we're trying not to cuss on this one. I'll explain later.
Okay, okay.
Let me know if you cuss. Tell me if you cuss.
I will. I'll try to remind you. But what I'm trying to get at here is it's the news cycle, I think, that is one of the factors in the fact that the way the news is. Because when I was reporting, I remember I would just struggle to get to and from the different locations where I had to talk to people in time. You know, I had to shoot all my own video, drive every different place I needed to talk to somebody. By the time that was done, you know, I'd barely have enough time to edit it, voice it, put it on the air. So there's no time in there to do research. There's no time to sit there and pore over records. And things like that. I mean, I guess if you didn't eat or didn't have a life.
Why didn't you just kick the teleprompter over and freestyle and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I did freestyle on air once, and my news director called me and said it didn't add any value to the cast. And I was like, your mom didn't add any value to the cast.
Ooh. So I saw this good movie. We have HBO now, which is like more reason for me to never leave my house. So if they want to drone me, they know where I am. But I saw this new movie by – what's the guy's name who did Super Size Me?
God. I used to know. Something McFarlane?
No. Anyway, that little redhead mullet redneck looking liberal did a new movie that's pretty cool. It might be a couple years old, but it's called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. And it's basically commentary on product placement and commercialism in our culture, you know, which sounds like it'd be a Michael Moore movie or something. But I like his movies a lot better than Michael Moore movies. They're
Morgan
not as well.
Spurlock.
Yeah. Morlock Spermlock. You know, basically the whole movie is him selling the product placement for the movie. And it's really funny and it's really cool. But there was this one thing in it I didn't know about, which is in a lot of public high schools in America, they now have this sort of news channel that plays for like 10 minutes a day. And the company that provides it, the content, provides the TVs and the cabling into the schools to deliver it. And it has like news items and educational items from a really statist bent, and it has advertisements in it.
Advertisements by the good folks at Monsanto and GE and stuff like that.
Things like that, man. And it's like really, really statist. So it's like, you know, not only are the teachers standing around telling them to reinforce the horizontal enforcement, they've got a screen pumping it into them.
I seem to remember hearing about something like that, but it was like right as I was leaving the public school system. Is it? No. I want to say it was called Cable One, but I don't think that's it. I think that's a cable service provider. I don't remember what it's called.
I don't know. It's scary.
Yeah, but I mean, really, 10 minutes of flashy, news provided to you from a status bent in your day. I mean, that's not all the statism you're getting while you're at school. I mean, the bulk of that is coming from your teachers and your textbooks, the other students. I mean, like you said, when you were a kid, the football team beat you up because you didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the problem is exposing kids to ads for jeans and iPods. I think the problem is everything that's said between that. I think that's better than the statism by far.
Yeah, yeah. I completely think so. Another interesting way we can look at the way status news differs from... Because these days there's an alternative, so I guess we call it alt media or liberty media. I guess alt media is a better, you know, broad spectrum thing, because it's not everybody in the alternative media is libertarian. But there was this story that you showed me of a guy who lived in East Austin, was building a bunker underneath his house, his own property, building his own bunker. And
he was building it. He was building it out of a previously like a Cold War bomb shelter.
Oh, that's
which
right.
is something mm-hmm. that the government told people to build.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Huh. When did they do that?
The government told people it was this. It was CD, Civil Defense, was the organization which morphed into FEMA. And Civil Defense used to have ads on the radio and on TV. They pretty much were ending when I was about five, so around 1970. But it was like from the end of World War II until about 1968, 70. They had ads all the time telling people to build bomb shelters and stockpile food, water, and medicine in their basements.
Wow.
And they had, like, directions and, you know, like, the government printing office. The government printing office is something. You ever heard of that?
No. Sounds scary, though.
In Pueblo, Colorado. The government printing office used to have ads on TV when I was a kid for, send 10 cents to get a cat or send a stamp to this address in Pueblo, Colorado to get a catalog of free government publications or cheap government publications. And they had a lot of really useful publications like, you know, stuff on, you know, how to, I mean, a lot of things that are so regulated that now you'd get arrested for doing them. I think they had one on, you know, hog farming in your yard, in your backyard.
Right. And now the government just kills your hog if you farm your hog in Michigan.
But, you know, they had a lot of like electromechanical stuff and, you know, stuff that would probably get you on a watch list now, you know, building radio transmitters and building, whatever. But they had publications on how to build a bomb shelter. And when I was a kid, most communities had a couple bomb shelters that were big, too, and had, like, morphine and stuff. Like, in my town, it was in the library. And there were signs that were a triangle that said CD in orange and black with arrows pointing, like, to the stairs to where to go to find the bomb shelter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that makes sense. But I was reading this article, and the one you sent me was from a site called Off Grid Survival. So obviously that's what we would call an alt media site. You know, somebody who's not
it's better
the same
better means. Homes and bunkers.
Better homes and bunkers, right? And just to get another perspective on it, I did some searching and I found the Austin American Statesman, or as I like to call them, the Austin American Statist, the local paper in Austin. I found their take on it from when it actually happened, when they first raided his house, which was in 2010. And the headline was completely different. So the headline on the alt media, Off Grid Survival, is Austin government officials seize man's home because he had a bunker. You know, poking fun at him, saying this is freaking ridiculous, basically. Austin American Statesman, multi-lever bunker found underneath East Austin home. No charges filed, but the structural integrity of a man's house is a concern, officials say.
I saw an article recently that was about some, it was today, it was about some white supremacists with some plot to kill black people in Florida were arrested for thinking those thoughts. And the article, like the first, they said this twice in the article, was that it was only 11 miles from Disneyland.
Yep, yep. That's the thing. You got to scare the soccer moms. If you're a reporter these days and you did not scare a soccer mom in your report, that was not a good report. News director's not going to be happy. Sorry, guys.
So you really want to move to Austin if there's like seizing? I mean, what they did to this guy's house, they raided him with a SWAT team. Yeah, the guy was like 80. Or no, 70-something. It was an old man. There's a picture of him. It was an old man who was a war vet and had worked for the state.
Yeah.
You know, one of their own, basically. And they swatted him, pulled him out of his house, and brought in like 10 tons or 20 tons of concrete. They had these big concrete trucks. Mm-hmm. They had pictures of them. And they had big stars on the side of them that I guess are Texas Department of Transportation or something.
Yeah.
But it was funny because they looked like sheriff stars from that angle. Mm. Like it's the sheriff's cement trucks. And they filled in his basement.
Yeah.
And then they declared his house unlivable and kicked him out of it and charged him $90,000 for the concrete.
They charged him for it. How ridiculous is that? Yeah, and the Austin American statist, they totally gloss over the SWAT team. Like, they have a graph here, a paragraph that just, it says, the visit triggered a search warrant at the home. Austin police and fire personnel, including members of the police, SWAT team, bomb squad, and fire search and rescue team, did a full sweep of the home Saturday. Not that men with guns came and kicked this 70-year-old man out of his freaking house and kept him from living in his house. I mean, it so accurately sums up the fact that when you're a mainstream reporter, you tell the story from the government's point of
view. And I didn't see anything of mention of danger. I mean, from what I could tell, he just had a hole in his basement. It didn't say it was full of dynamite and, you know, claymore mines and rifles and, you know, blueprints of government buildings and lists of government officials. It said it was a bunker.
Yep. Well, in the statist report, all they say is several weapons, which I'm assuming, you know, he had a normal collection of guns, just like you or I.
What Texan doesn't have a bunch of guns in his basement?
Exactly. And then inert grenades and 55-gallon barrels, which turned out to be empty.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Check out the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
I saw something going around the internet that was in California, a man was sentenced to 72 hours mandatory psychiatric evaluation because he was found in possession of 30 guns and 75,000 rounds of ammunition. And then it was like, how would this be? What news would this be in other states? And it was like, you know, in Arkansas, he'd be a typical gun owner. In Texas, he'd be a novice gun owner. In Wyoming, he'd be an eligible bachelor. In Utah, they might think he was suspect until they made sure he had enough food to go with his ammo.
Yeah.
So I got this thing. I got this thing from the library. I want to read part of it.
Okay.
The library wants to steal a bunch of money to expand. They sent another four-page, four-color, glossy printout. Like, where are they getting the money for this advertising campaign? I don't know.
Probably the one-cent tax.
Yeah.
People probably voted to give their money to it, which doesn't make it right for people like you who don't want to pay it.
And one of the things they say is, we need to have a tech center. And they have a picture of a bunch of old people using computers. Like, no, I don't want those people on the internet, let alone be robbed to pay to get them trained to be on the internet. And this survey on the back, they finally gotten around to admitting, you know, like there was a frequently asked questions on the last one. It had 20 questions and none of them were, where's the money going to come from? Mm-hmm. Now that they've softened you up with how wonderful it'll be to get Granny an AOL account, to get how great it'll be to get Uncle Grandpa Bob on Facebook so he can bother you. The question three is, if the election were held today, would you vote yes in favor or no to oppose a $23.5 million bond issue with an estimated tax impact of $1.70 per month over 20 years for a home with a market value of $182,000, median value home in Natrona County, to fund construction of a new 82,000 square foot Natrona County Public Library? Definitely yes, probably no, definitely no, don't know. And the next question, an alternative to financing the new library with a bond issue would be a 1 cent specific purpose sales and use tax that would automatically sunset in less than 2 years. Would you be more likely to support that or less likely compared to the other thing? So it's basically, we're going to steal this from you. You know, do you want to be punched in the balls or kicked in the stomach?
Yeah. And I don't understand where that idea comes from, that if certain people vote for something, for theft, then it's okay to steal from the people who voted no.
I know.
And I guess it's just government indoctrination into democracy. I mean, we're told from the time we're young that democracy is, you know, the god of the world. That's the highest thing you can achieve as far as government goes and morality. And I guess people just buy it. And it doesn't make any logical or moral sense to me, because why don't people get that? Okay, so you want to pay for this library. If you're going to vote yes, just pay for it then. How about only the people that vote yes get to pay that property tax?
And I guarantee, I guarantee if they add another 1 cent tax. Now, for people who don't know, we've discussed this before on here, but if you're new to the podcast, Casper, Wyoming, our state tax is what, 4 cents? Per dollar, five cents per dollar. It's 5 cents per dollar, and then the county that we're in, Natrona, has a 1 cent tax that was originally supposed to be one of these things, a 2 year thing that would sunset, and after 2 years, they kept having a vote to renew it, and they take public money to put up the billboards and have the radio ads and the TV ads to get people to vote again for it. And as you said, the people that vote against it or don't vote still have to pay it. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that if they raise the county tax from 1 cent to 2 cent, it is not going to sunset in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious about this, a 1 cent specific purpose sales and use tax. Now, what is a use tax? Does that mean that
I don't know. I would hope. I mean, it seems like a use tax in normal speak would mean that you pay if you use something. But tax does not imply that. Tax means you pay no matter what. So I don't know.
I used to use heroin. Was there a use tax on that? Probably in California somehow.
I think. OK, so I've heard of this before. I think a use tax might refer to something that you pay for, not when you buy it or when you own it, but when you use it. Kind of like property taxes, how, you know, it's not tax you pay when you buy your house.
It just seems like they're trying to sneak something else in there with that word use. Like, they're going to tax things they don't normally tax, like maybe, you know, digital downloads on iTunes or something. Or movie rentals on Netflix. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, cable TV, probably. They'll probably add it to cable TV if they're not already.
Yeah. I get so sick of it.
So, Nima, you got a friend on Facebook who really likes you. Talk about him.
Well, all my friends on Facebook really like me. I'm a cool guy. But no, I talked with the guy that I'd been friends with for a while. He was a good friend of mine in college. Now he's about to graduate law school. We were having a really good conversation. And this – a thing came up that really I thought of when we were talking about voting and, you know, why? How come the people who want the library just – how come it's not those people that only get to pay for it? How come the people who vote no still have to pay for it? And so – I was going on preaching anarchism to this friend of mine, and he was still like, well, we need a government, we need egalitarianism, this and that. And he was talking about voting and how, you know, you get to decide with your vote. Look how great that is. You know, if you don't like the way something is, you can vote. How awesome is that? Thumbs up. I'm paraphrasing. And so I LOL'd, and I was like, so what if 99% of people decided that you should be anally raped daily? Would you be okay with that? And it wouldn't even take 99% of everybody, just 99% of the people who had the time and inclination to vote. My friend goes, well, I'd shoot them. Then when they'd get me, I'd shoot myself. And I said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. If you tried to shoot them, you would be justified. And he goes, yeah, and also, I'd appreciate the process rather than my neighbors deciding to do it on their own. So he would actually appreciate the process. At least he says it here. I don't know if I changed his mind. But he says if 99% of people decided to do something completely horrible to him, he would at least appreciate the fact that they decided to take a vote on it.
He also sounds like he's saying it's okay to shoot people who tyrannize you.
Yeah, he's not as...
Which are two contradictory views coming out of a statist, but
that's,
you know,
not
that's
unusual.
what's the word?
Par for the course.
Cognitive dissonance.
Okay. Or doublethink, I would think, rather. The ability to hold two contradictory thoughts in your head at the same time.
That's cognitive dissonance.
Well, cognitive dissonance, I thought, is what prevents your mind from doing that. It's when your brain sees those.
It's what enables you to do that. It's what enables you to hold two completely contradictory views.
I'm pretty sure you're only enabled to do that if you suppress your cognitive dissonance.
Well, maybe I was misinterpreting John Stewart's teaching of it last
possibly.
Night.
Possibly. I don't know. It gets used in a few different ways, so maybe we're both right. Double think.
Go on.
Yeah. The thing is, this guy hates both Bush and Obama. I mean, he calls himself a moderate, so I don't really know how he feels about most things in general. But
he hates both sides, but he wants someone who's closer to the middle to doom him in the butt.
Oh, we're trying not to cuss. I mean, I suppose the thing is, we sort of went in circles because he was kind of saying that you need government, and the reason he said was because you need egalitarianism. You need to keep the strong from hurting the weak. And I said, but that's what we have with the government. The government doesn't prevent that. And he goes, well, your argument's weak because anarchy has never worked in history. You can't point to me a good long example. And I said, well, your argument must be equally weak then, because the government has never provided this egalitarian utopia.
The government
that
hurts
you
the
want.
Weak too. The government
right,
hurts
right.
The
and
weak
so his other argument constantly. Was, well, if you didn't have government, you would just have local fiefdoms where people tyrannized the weak. And I was like, well, then that would be a government. You know, you can't say we need a government to prevent there from being governments.
Well, I mean, that's what the U.S. military does, is tries to control what governments there are.
Yeah.
You know, between killing these people and putting in a puppet state in that place and, you know, trying to bribe these people with food not to kill these other people after they've bombed their ability to make their own food away.
And I guess in a sense, statists are right in when they say that, okay, if we tore the government down tomorrow, smaller tyrannies would just form and rich people would use violence against poor people. Yeah, I guess I could see that. It'd be kind of like in Russia or, you know, when the Soviet Union fell and, you know, the state, what was left of it at least, worked with the richest people at the time to basically loot everybody and everything went to crap. And you know, the statists are right about that. If we could push a button that deleted the government tomorrow, I don't think we would have libertarian paradise.
Some good came out of that looting, though. I mean, that looting is the reason that you have a Mosin and I have a Mosin and an AK.
Okay, fair enough. There's always unintended consequences that can be either positive or negative. And it goes back to this analogy that Stefan Molyneux said once, I think just off the cuff, or a metaphor that was just genius and I thought shed a lot of good light on it. Yeah, I guess there's this metaphor that Stefan Molyneux says that really, to me, sums up why if you just ended the government tomorrow, we would just have a bigger government eventually. You know, people would just start the state all over again. Is, he says, if the church burned down in a community, that wouldn't make everybody atheists. You know, just because the physical structure of the institution ceases to exist doesn't mean that what's in the minds of people ceases to exist. And that goes back to what Ben Stone says, where the state, it's really a mind state. The state is what's in people's head that tells them that it's okay for one group of people to use violence against another group of people and have it be legitimized because somebody voted on it or because somebody signed a piece of paper called a constitution. So really, the way we get liberty isn't we destroy the state physically. We don't blow up Washington, D.C. You know, we don't just tear it down. We have to get everybody to want it to stop existing. We have to tear down the state in people's minds, not the state in reality.
Do you really think that can happen?
I think it's our only hope. I mean, it has to happen if we want lib pair. And maybe it can happen in certain areas. I guess that's sort of the argument for panarchy is maybe you will always have people who just want to be, as Ben Stone says, who want to live in a place where cops pull them over daily and electrocute them. Maybe you can't ever get rid of that. Maybe there'll always be people like that. So maybe they can just live in California, and those who don't want to be pulled over daily and electrocuted can live in Wyoming. I don't know.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there! Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiend show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends' weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the Back Talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Well, I've always thought that, in theory, the best answer would be, instead of secession, would be reverse secession, where the statists... You know, where California would branch off and become its own country. The problem is, though, they wouldn't, first of all, because they want to control everybody, and second of all, because they wouldn't have as many producers to steal from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing, is statists would never go for it. So how do we make that happen? I have no idea. Because statists will always be like, well, somebody voted for it. You have to do it. If you don't do it, we're going to shoot you. I mean, that's what defines a statist. They would never let anarchists be free to live on their own and be successful. So maybe it goes back to the science fiction writers like L. Neil Smith and you know, the gentleman Troilius, who we were talking to on the live show that one day. Maybe it just comes a point where if enough statists can get away from, or if enough anarchists can get enough away from the statists long enough, their society will be richer and have more technology, and then the statists won't be able to mess with us.
Well, the country of Greece is not doing well with that. You know what they did this week?
Uh-uh.
They had elections, you know, basically like their Congress, like they replaced a bunch of them. And they elected a bunch of Communist Party members and a bunch of Nazis.
Really?
Now, historically, history shows that's going to go really well.
Right.
Yeah, it's basically like the communists are like, free ponies for everybody, and the Nazis are like, let's seal off our borders on the ocean side with landmines. I'm not kidding.
And yeah, you're right. You know, whenever historically you have something where, you know, the populace wants to revolt or they hate the status quo, you know, in revolutions, you usually end up getting some other form of tyranny. Like in the Iranian Revolution, they hated the Shah. They hated the Western intervention. They fought against it. And then what do they end up with? They end up with an Islamic theocracy, you know. The American Revolution, you know, they fought against taxes, and then they get a constitution and start a whiskey tax, and they go and try to attack people to steal their money.
And when, you know, it makes for good humor, and it pretty much writes itself when you say they elected a bunch of actual communists and a bunch of actual Nazis this week. But really, is that much different from the United States Congress?
No,
I mean,
no,
a lot of statists would say, you know, I mean, people say stuff like that occasionally in Congress. They'll call the other people Nazis or communists and then have to apologize. I don't know how they make them apologize, but they always do apologize. But I don't think it's really being rhetorical. I mean, Nancy Pelosi-type Democrats, and there's a bunch of that type of Democrats in Congress, are literally communists. I mean, they literally speak the words and want the policies of communism.
Yeah.
You know, beyond socialism. They want communism. And really, are some of the hardcore theocrat Republicans that far from Nazis?
No, not at all. Not at all. I feel like both sides are – they want the state to control things, you know, and that's, to me, the definition of both communism and fascism. They're both extreme forms of statism, and everybody we have in our Congress except for Ron Paul, I mean, that's their MO. I don't really see any difference. So whenever you vote for Nancy Pelosi, I feel like, yes, you are voting for a communist. And same thing with Lindsey Graham. I don't know really where I draw the line between communists and Nazis. I mean, where do you draw the line? To me, I feel like they're pretty much the same.
Well, where do you draw the line between Democrats and most Democrats and most Republicans in America? They each want to point the guns of the state at people to do things.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, communists, you know, American communists want the government to steal the money from the rich, except for them, and give it to a rainbow of everybody. And the Nazis or the Republicans want to steal the government money and bomb and control and jail everyone who's not like them, not of their tribe.
Yeah. It's very horrifying to me because I guess people don't get it. You know, they like to point to things like Greece, and I bet there are lots of people in America who would readily vote for Nancy Pelosi or Lindsey Graham or Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, and they're probably having a good chuckle over at Greece and what's going on there. And, oh, they're voting for actual communists and Nazis? But they don't get it, you know. They don't have the cognitive dissonance to understand that it's the same thing here, and they need to – until they realize that, we can't just tear down the state and have no state pop up in its place. You have to make people understand logic, reason, and the non-aggression principle. And until enough people understand that, I don't think we avoid continued statism.
Did you ever notice that the flashing lights that pull you over when a cop's about to tyrannize you are red, white, and blue lights?
Yeah, and I always thought they were supposed to be like that on purpose, you know, like we're truth, justice in the American way, like Captain America, they probably think they are.
So that security checkpoint toy for kids, what'd you think of that? Describe it.
I'd seen that one before. It's by a company called, I think, Playmobil. It's kind of a knockoff Lego, but it's more expensive for some reason. I don't know if it's
Playmobil. Like
Playmobil. All right, not Playmobil.
It's European.
Ah, is that it? Okay.
And they sell them in airports.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't
that's
know
one that. Of that's big places they sell that stuff. But they have
that's
a little
news
like,
to me.
I mean, they kind of look like Lego people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they have a little kit that's like security checkpoint kit. And it's like, you know, a TSA type scanner, a cop, a lady cop, a man cop, and a person to be searched. It's like, you know, Billy's first tyranny kit. It's from the Young Status collection at Playmobil.
Yeah, and on Amazon, you know, they let users post photos of the product, and there were some pretty classic ones, like the TSA goons kicking a dude in the back onto the ground and pointing guns at him.
And another one that said, "Don't touch my junk."
Yeah, yeah. And of course, one that was like the porno scanner image all blacked out, and the crotch was had a little edit on it, you know, a little circle of black, and then the guy had like guns all over him. So pretty hilarious. But yeah, I'd seen that before. And there's also another one that's really funny. It's by Spy Gear. You know, they do like be a cool spy, and you know, they do like those things that you point at people and hear their sound. You know, little they look kind of like a satellite dish, and you can hear stuff from far away. And they have all sorts of stuff like that. But they have a really status one that's like that. It's a security wand, and the cover picture is a picture of a little boy like holding his arms out and looking down and smiling, and somebody's wanding him with the security wand. Like, wow. Like, what kid goes to the airport, gets molested by the TSA, and is excited about it so much he wants to recreate that experience through his toys?
I don't know, man. I remember some TV show where there was some character who was doing – oh, it's in Office Space maybe. It's somebody who works in a cubicle and has a mind-numbing job, or maybe someone who does tech support. And, you know, they're like – this isn't where I thought I'd end up. You know, when I was 8, I didn't ask my parents for a little play cubicle and headset.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But apparently kids want, you know, toy butt searching wands because there's someone making them and selling them.
Or maybe kids don't want them. Maybe their status parents just buy them for them.
Maybe
to,
the state
to get them
is,
used to the idea.
Maybe the state wants them out there to train future TSA people.
Ah, right. Maybe they get it for Christmas from Status Clause.
Status Clause. And they buy them on the worldwide wiretap.
Of course.
So read this thing. Oh, did you hear see this thing my friend Bruce wrote me? This guy I used to play in a band with. One of the people I like that I used to play in a band with. Said, okay, 10 years of playing loud music from my house. Alice Cooper, Led Zeppelin, Pretty Things, Jethro Tull, my own crap. At 3 a.m., the cops finally give me a warning for playing Bomb.
It was a bomb scare.
Yep. Nice. There was a bomb scare at a bomb show. And one time we played the I-Beam in San Francisco. Like right before we were, after soundcheck, people are milling in. It's about half full. In what turned out to be a packed show, and like four cops and a German Shepherd come in, and they walk around and they have the dog sniff under the stage, and then they leave, and they told the owner of the club they had a bomb scare at a bomb show. It's pre 9/11. Now they just would have droned the place for the protection
they
of society.
They would have droned the place, right?
So read this thing that Michigan escapee wrote. It's at the bottom of page two, going on to the next page. It's we talked in a recent episode about how we found this document, internal document that was leaked from the government of it's got the forms that you fill out to report a website if your job is to sit around and listen to Freedom Fiends all day. And he wrote up the reports for Freedom Fiends and Bad Quaker. Go ahead and read these. They're pretty good.
So this is Michigan escapee's take on what a Fed goon would write for the Freedom Fiends podcast. Subjects: anarcho-liberty, paranoia, gear whoring. Immediate threats? None. Terrorist group affiliations? Cats and assorted feline species. Summary abstract. Mostly harmless. Recommended actions: buy them off with tech toys and or forcibly medicate with Adderall/Dexedrine. If the government wants to give me free Adderall, go for it.
And tech toys.
And tech toys, yeah. Goons, listen, mail us some cool stuff. Maybe we'll stop talking about you.
You know, we got a donation of $40 this week, and I don't know if the person's okay with me saying their name, but I do like what he wrote. He said, in PayPal, you can say what something's for, and he wrote, for hosting kitty treats and keeping the bullets flying.
Right, right. Which is a spinoff on our Vapersmiths ad. So I have more money to spend on treats for my kitties.
On ammo and treats for my kitties.
Ah, yes, yes. Should have left it to the pro. So,
Bad Quaker. He said he also reviewed Bad Quaker from the statist point of view.
That's true. So what he says, what the Fed goons would say about Bad Quaker podcast. Subjects: hyper-analytical work of freedom movement topics, immediate threats, narcolepsy, agitation, paranoia. Terrorist group affiliations, carnies, SCA people.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what SCA people is either.
Sex. There's a sex anonymous group that's like sex something anonymous. SCA. I don't think that's it. But in summary, abstract: person potential use for weaponization.
Right, and I'm not sure what he means by that.
And then recommended actions. See if Ben Stein is available for exploratory weapons app. Look into semi-auto Arabic Farsi translation. And then he said, that was too silly. Burn after reading. And I replied, love it. By the way, it's Ben Stone, not Ben Stein. It's the bad Quaker, not the bad Jew. Ben Stein is a comedian who used to be a speechwriter for Richard Nixon.
Yeah. I would call Ben Stein a bad Jew. I wouldn't feel qualmsy about that.
He's funny, though, sometimes.
Yeah, when he had that show on Comedy Central, Win Ben Stein's Money.
You know, I went with a girl in L.A., a girl I was dating, who tried out for that show.
Yeah.
And she did not get on. He wasn't there, but it was like at some movie studio bunker kind of place, and there were about 30 people there. And they had everyone do the and I decided to do it as long as I was there. I was like, I'll try out too. And she passed she was really pretty, but she didn't pass the camera test because she was nervous on camera. But she did pass the quiz test, and the quiz was friggin' hard, man. That show, had really hard questions for not much reward. The most you could win was $5,000, and it was really hard to win. And like, you know, after, I mean, there's like 20 questions, and after like three of them, I was out. And she got, you know, 19 of them or something, and got to go on to the film test and didn't pass because she was too twitchy or something. I used to date a lot of twitchy women.
Pretty twitchy women. And of course, Ben Stein is very statist. Like you said, he used to be a speechwriter for Nixon. But on the other end of the spectrum, apparently Alex Trebek has some libertarian tendencies. He was interviewed for some, I don't know, some small town interview, some small paper or something, and apparently was railing about the wars and about Democrats and Republicans both being silly or stupid. I don't have the exact quotes, and I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but Google Alex Trebek and libertarian and see what you come up with. But there's something there that exists that shows he might be on our side.
So AT&T is now offering home security systems, including cameras. And I'm thinking, like, that's the phone company that offered to give the federal government wireless, warrantless wiretapping before they even asked for it. And the, and they're going to put cameras in my home? F that.
Yeah, hell no. Although I was thinking the other day about how cameras might work in LibPair. And it was in regards to this whole Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing, and the fact that nobody really knows what's going on. And A, I think at LibPair, Trayvon Martin probably would have had his own gun, would have known how to use it. I think because of that, you know, and there wouldn't be somebody like George Zimmerman who was just walking around looking to start trouble if that is the case. But what if people had, you know, something to just record what was going on around them at the time, just in case of stuff like this. And it could be uploaded to like an FTP offline, you know, or online, kind of like your, you know, kind of like security cameras that you can tie up to your house that would record things if there's, you know, motion detected.
I'd want either, I think in LibPair, the technology would exist. So it'd be cheap enough to have sunglasses that record everything and upload it somewhere. So if you're killed and someone steals the glasses, you'd still have it.
Right, exactly.
Your family would still have it. Also, you know, I think you could just have a little drone following you around. Dude, have you seen – I've got to show you this footage in the break. It is mind-boggling. There is this group of young people. I forget what they're called. They're Team Something that do model airplanes with really high-res cameras in them. Mm-hmm. And fly them around cities. There's one of them flying around San Francisco. It's mind-bending. And they're going like on the Golden Gate Bridge, like, you know, between the holes in the metal on the part that holds it up on the top. Like they're probably breaking laws to do it. They've got another one that's at the Grand Canyon where they're whizzing around like just under the rim of the Grand Canyon. It's so outrageously beautiful.
And so you can watch these as kind of like a virtual tour of whatever they're showing.
I'll post them.
Okay.
I'll post them on this thing, and I also just want to show them to you on the break and get your reaction. It's about break time. Let's take a break.
All right.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
Rolling. So, Nima, what do you think of those citizen drone videos from Team Black Sheep?
They're completely awesome, man. And it's like you were telling me, you know, even when you see government produced or other corporation produced stuff where they're like showing aerial photos of cities, they don't get that close, that detailed. I mean, these guys were flying underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, like through the holes. And it's because it's a tiny little drone glider, remote controlled, that they're piloting.
And they
with
sell
camera.
The footage for use. They have a link on their website of, you know, hire us to produce video or purchase what we have, which, you know, I mean, that stuff could be in the opening credits of any TV show.
Right, right.
It's that good.
Or news. It could be news footage. I mean, how much do stations pay a helicopter pilot and a helicopter cameraman to sit in there and do traffic reports or already pie in the sky, like for The Simpsons? I mean, why do that?
You pay a lot less to have these two 18-year-olds fly their 4-foot planes over the traffic.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly.
But then the government would come in and regulate it and make them get licenses and things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think that, so, yeah. I had a freedom fix. I saw two sparrows having sex the other day.
Why is that a freedom fix?
I don't know. It was really flappy, and it made me and DJ smile. It was very flappy.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have to get a license for bird f***ing? Oh, sorry. I cussed.
Cussed, man.
Cussed. Why are we not cussing again? Oh, we can't let you know. It's on the DL. It's on the cool.
Yep. Okay, last file.
There were a few tyranny todays from Massachusetts.
That swearing thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's illegal to swear in some town in Massachusetts, Middleborough.
Well, I don't think did they pass it yet? I think it's, leads to new law. Yeah, wow.
It's illegal to curse in Middleborough.
No, it still says considering passing a law, and that's as of May 1st, so I don't know. Sometimes city councils do work pretty quick, but usually they don't go into effect until later, you know, a few months later.
Until the people are out of office and move back to, I don't know, where do the carpetbaggers in Massachusetts come from?
That's where they grow like fungus on bath mats.
That's why they
call them carpetbaggers. they're from that dirty rug underneath your feet when you take a piss.
Yeah.
Is piss a curse? I don't know.
No.
Okay, good. And apparently residents had complained to the city council. So, of course, the intrepid politicians decided to do something. But I'm thinking, okay, so you own a business. If we lived in a society where people respected property, you would just say, you know, put a sign up. No cursing in front of my business or, you know, on my property. Like, kick the customers out. Put a picture up. Say, you know, Snooki's not welcome here because she curses and sticks things up her cooter. So,
and, you know, the world is getting angrier to where you need to cuss. You know, we said that in our movie. You know, this movie contains cussing, but angry times call for angry words. And it's like, then the road just gets more narrow and they just squeeze your neck and your balls more at the same time. You know, they like they make you need to curse, and then they outlaw cursing.
Yeah And
you know, I was thinking about that today too. It's like two things I saw that seemed unrelated, like felt related to me. One was, you know, the local Republicans trying to increase my property taxes to pay for a library I don't think should be there and I'll never use. And this thing of a bill some Democrats are proposing that will eliminate stand your ground laws. Ugh. So it's like they want to make it so I can't defend my, between them, they want to make it so I can't defend myself and, you know, tax me out of existence for things I don't want.
Yeah. And I guess here's the thing I feel about the whole stand your ground law debate is, I feel like in any case, the facts of the case are what's important. You know, what some legislature wrote up, I don't think should have bearing on the case. I mean, if somebody obviously killed somebody and it wasn't self-defense, then the facts of that specific unique case, that's what should decide what happens to the person if they're convicted, if they're acquitted. I mean, I don't think we should look to one-size-fits-all legislation to push things in one direction or the other, right? I mean, how can the legislature know what's going to happen in any given case? They have no idea.
Well, they're using a bunch of manufactured false statistics, saying things like, you know, in some states, murder rates have gone up 300% since these laws were enacted, which I don't think is true anywhere. I think murder rates have gone down pretty much universally in America over the past decade or so.
Well,
but
the stat I saw was what had gone up was reported self-defense shootings, which and they weren't even, I think they were legitimized self-defense shootings or ones that were acquitted. And I feel like, okay, what's the problem with that? More people are defending themselves. I don't see a problem there at all. And then, of course, the other Justice Department statistic that the pro Stand Your Ground law people were supporting were that violent crimes have actually gone down nationally.
Liberals can't wrap their head around that.
No.
They can't wrap their head around, you know, I mean, like, I'm like, what do they want? Do they want violent crime to go up?
Well, I feel like it's like what you said a few casts back, that, you know, people are scared of guns because they're scared of what they would do if they owned a gun, because they might be violent people. And liberals are violent people. They tend to want to use violence to solve problems. So maybe in their heads, they're projecting that onto, you know, what most people would call law-abiding gun owners. Where, you know, I carry a gun every day. I never think of using it to just shoot somebody I'm pissed at, you know. And when you do carry a gun every day, I think this happens, at least it happens to me, you know. I think of situations when I might have to use it, and I try to avoid them. You know, I don't get road rage. I don't yell at people. I try to avoid situations where things could escalate, because I know that deadly force is on my hip.
And with us, that's a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And to gun haters, they'd probably explain that with, like, well, yeah, you can just smirk instead of get road rage because you know you could kill the guy.
Yeah, but isn't that better? I mean, wouldn't you rather have somebody just smile confidently and go about their business? I mean, then there's no incident.
Yes.
It just seems obvious to me, but I guess that's why I'm an anarchist gun owner. And not a liberal gun grabber, you know.
I still want to find a different word other than anarchist, libertarian, voluntarist, agorist. I have problems with all those words.
Yeah.
So we're still having a contest. Win a date with the fiends if you come up with a new word for what everyone is, what we are.
Fair enough. Anyway,
you have to pay for the winner has to pay for the transportation to bring the fiends to where they are.
Yeah.
And it has to be a place we're willing to bring guns, and we have to be willing to want to spend a day with you, and no sex or romance will be involved.
It's a lot of caveats. Yeah. But fair enough. It's our contest. We can do what we want with it. I want to go back briefly to the cussing thing, the law in Massachusetts that they're proposing to.
Do you think they're going to start droning people for cussing?
I doubt it. But at my little brother's high school in Texas, they would fine you, like an actual police fine for cussing. You'd have to go pay.
I'm thinking about that movie Demolition Man, where when you cuss, a little ticket comes out of the wall.
I always, when I was a little kid, that was one of the things that upset me most, you know, because when you're a kid, your parent, you get in trouble for cussing, you get in trouble at school, your parents tell you not to. Never, ever, ever made sense to me. It's just a word.
Well, the idea.
It's just a word.
To me, the idea of wrong words
is silly.
Is insane.
Yes. Completely insane.
You know, you could do a lot more harm to people with words that aren't the seven words you can't say on TV.
Yep.
If you want. And a lot of most of the time when people say the seven words you can't say on TV, there's no meanness behind them. I mean, it is if it's F you, but if it's just, you know, you hit your thumb with the hammer when you're pounding a nail and you go, you know, that's not hurting anybody. Whereas I could, in my sleep, construct a sentence that contains no swear words that would bring most people to tears if I said it to them in all seriousness.
Yeah. No, if you called, just in general, if you called somebody ugly, fat, bad at their job, you know, but tailored it to be more specific to the situation, that would be infinitely more hurtful than calling them a bitch.
Well, I'm sure there's people in Massachusetts that want to ban that, too.
Yeah, probably. And speaking of Massachusetts, there was another tyranny that one of our listeners gave us. Apparently, there's this thing called the Judge Rottenberg. That's literally his name, Judge Rottenberg Education Center, or the JRC, formerly known as the Behavior Research Institute. According to the wiki page, it's a facility for special needs students that operates in Canton, Massachusetts, providing applied behavior analysis and education services. They call it services to children and adults. And guess what these services are?
Shock treatment.
Yeah, they call it aversives, which I guess because people are averse to getting electrically shocked, withholding of food. So they're taking special needs people. Imagine that. Just think about that in your head. Taking people who, you know, we would call
special.
You
can't call them a retard, but you can shock them.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't refer to them when they're not in the room even as a retard.
Right, right.
But you can have the government can shock
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. No, there was a campaign a few years back. One of the reporters at our station in Wyoming, Ophelia, did a story on it. It was like, stop the R word. Like, that's the most horrible thing that's happening to people with special needs.
Well,
but no,
actually,
they're getting shocked, electrocuted, and starved.
And it's like, I would never call a retarded person to their face retarded, and I would never refer to them as retarded behind their back. I do use the word retarded. I used it this morning. I was having internet problems, and I was telling a client that I'm doing some web design for, I'm going to have to do this later in the day. I'm having problems. The internet in Wyoming is retarded, which is actually a correct use of the word retarded.
Right, right, because it's slow.
It's slow.
Yeah, it's not working
it
properly.
It can be slow,
like,
yes.
Like a fire retardant or a flame retardant.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Don't they call them a flame special needs now?
Yeah.
Flame special needed.
Yes, they do. They do. yeah. My jacket makes flames have Down syndrome.
This is the central scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
Speaking of drones, mm-hmm. of drone syndrome, I think that the U.S.'s plan with drones is to just eliminate the military, except for a few special forces sharpshooters, mm-hmm. to where, like, there's no military because it would make the army seem, make the military, make the killing of people seem friendlier. You know, the war protesters wouldn't see their sons and neighbors coming home in body bags. They wouldn't have that to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would make it more sterile
yes.
to just kill people by remote control. And I think it's going to get to the point where the United States is going to use it to be like far more colonial and globally grab an empire than they even do now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it already has. I mean, think about the places that we've done drone strikes, and it is so many more places than we have boots on the ground. I mean, we've been able to expand it into Pakistan, Yemen, Africa. There are so many
weaker places. They'll never do it to China.
No,
you know,
no, not at all.
They'll never do it to Russia. They'll never do it to England.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they did it to China, China would just stop buying dollars
and bomb us back to the Stone Age. Which, you know what China would do if they were really mad at us? They probably wouldn't bomb us back to the Stone Age. They would probably send 300 million troops here.
I don't know what China would do, man. I think that's too big of a variable. But it is important to point out, like you said, that, you know,
Wolverines.
China has more than a billion people. You know, and their military spending doesn't even come close to what we spend on the military. We have way more military technology. But as we've seen in Afghanistan, you know, you don't need to have the best technology to hold off.
The amount of drones we have and the price of them is staggering. I saw that in passing in that Rolling Stone article I was reading while walking around Walmart,
yep.
which I didn't buy. And it was something, these numbers may be off by slight amounts, but it was something like, you know, the U.S. now has like 65,000 drones or 22,000 mm-hmm. drones. It was a five-figure number.
Yep.
That wasn't really low, and the price of them was, you know, like $10 million each. And I tried to do the quick math on that, and I'm like, isn't the amount we've spent on drones more than the country has? It was close. It was like, wait, where is this money coming from? They're just pretending it. You know?
They're pretending it. Yeah, yeah. It's drone money too.
Yeah,
it's.
They should put a drone on a bill.
They probably will at some point in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right.
It'd be a $165 bill, which I think is the price of a concealed carry permit in California if you can get one.
I definitely see an incentive on their part to remove the human aspect from our military and have it be all drone. First of all, a drone, you know, especially if they remove the drone pilots. I mean, maybe that's what they're working on next, is a drone that would be self-sufficient. They don't have to give somebody an order.
Yeah. I have a prediction, though, a sad prediction, is that those – that Team Black Wolf, what are they called? Team Black Sheep?
Black Sheep.
I predict that they will be hired by the U.S. military for something. Either that, or they'll arrest them for violating something with what they're doing with their planes, and then say, well, you can go to prison or you can go work for General Electric, Pentagon.
Prison or a job. Your choice.
Yeah. Prison or a really well-paid job where you get to do what you love with better – with an unlimited budget and get paid and get a pension.
The other thing about the military is, as we've seen, so many of them are getting sick of our foreign policy. I mean, they were the biggest donors, or Ron Paul was the one who received the most donations from active duty military. You know, there've been a few letters written to, I guess, Lou Rockwell about how, you know, they used to be statist neocons. And once they saw what was actually going on in the military, the fact that it was just a big jobs welfare program, that the price paid was killing innocent people, they decided, hey, I'm done with this. And those are people that know how to kill. They're people that have the training to fight back. You know, they're not slaves. They're not sheeple. And so,
well, Boston said something in Boston's Gun Bible, which was written, what, 12, 15 years ago?
The first about the smart weapons, so that you
about
can have
the smart
soldiers.
Weapons. About, mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to, they, that he thinks somebody, you know, 30 years ago, he said 15 years ago, but this was written like 15 years ago. He said, like, you know, 30 years ago, someone at the Pentagon figured out that they need to make smart weapons because they want to have dumb soldiers. Yeah. They don't want to train someone to be able to shoot someone with a deer rifle at 500 yards and kill them in one shot, mm-hmm. and then send them back to the citizen world and work as a barber or whatever, because they might get angry and use it. So they want smart weapons that they can turn off, and smart weapons that eventually don't need an operator.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. Don't need an operator. I think the government is doing research and moving towards things, not only militarily, but domestically. I mean, with those event data recorders that they recently, I think, mandated them for a certain year. Check Eric Peters
2016.
For this.
2016. All cars are going to have a black box in them that's going to, like, upload your movements and your speed and where you go, your GPS coordinates. Mm-hmm. The government will know where you go.
Yeah. And imagine getting a traffic ticket because you sped up to pass an old lady, just in the mail, or
when there's
or
no
EFT'd
cop and no camera
from your
around.
Bank account, you know, just drawn out, withdrawn or withheld from your paycheck, as they're so fond of doing. Imagine that, or swerving to avoid hitting a cat and getting a ticket for erratic driving, reckless driving. And not only this, but, these event data recorders, you know, OnStar, which is sort of a free market, not even free market, because GE is pretty much government motors, but OnStar, which some people willingly pay for, can actually send signals to your car to stop the engine. So
GE is government electronics. General Motors is government.
Government motors. There you go.
Government electronics.
So if you say you don't pay your fine that you get on your event data recorder, it would be theoretically possible for them to just shut down your car. Engine won't start. You don't get to drive anymore until you pay the government their extortion money.
Wow. Well, that was very depressing.
Yeah, that's not a very good note to end on.
I got something to end on.
Okay.
In the last episode, we were talking about AA analogies between, you know, the disease of alcoholism and the disease of statism. Mm-hmm. And I missed a really good opportunity for one was when you were talking about, you know, that like we – the way to spread liberty is to live a happy liberty life and show people that.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of a couple things in AA. One is, don't tell people you're sober, show them you're sober, which is basically based on, you know, everyone that's a drunk or a drug addict has quit a bunch of times and said, I'm done with this. It's ruining my life and it's hurting everyone around me. And they go out and tell all their friends and family, hey, I've quit. I'm never doing that again. And then 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years later, they're doing it again.
Yeah.
So people don't believe them.
Yeah.
And so in AA, they say, show people you're sober instead of tell them you're sober. And another thing is the 11th tradition of AA says, includes the line, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Which is basically the same concept. Show people, be a good example so people are naturally attracted in their heads rather than just selling it like in a PR campaign and telling them what they need. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great analogy. That's a nice, hopeful thing. I think so.
Although maybe it was a jarring status anonymous.
Maybe that's the way we educate everybody. We have little that was a pretty, support groups for people.
That was a pretty jarring turn from they're going to shut down your cars by remote control in 4 years to yes, live a happy, pleasant, free life and show people that you're free.
Well, see, we can lead by example as anarchists by buying cars that don't fit the government requirement because it's cars built after a certain time.
You and I are going to be the smilingest, happiest guys in that FEMA camp. We'll be cracking wise and making everyone smile in there.
There we go. We're going to bring some light to your days right before you get gassed by the government.
Worms. All right, man. That was a good time.
Yep. Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.